These days in the world of social media, I know you're all ardent followers of social media here. When people are happy, they often use the hashtag blessed when sharing photos or details of their lives. Now, if you don't know this, the hashtag symbol is what us old folks used to call the number sign, or sometimes the pound sign. Mm-hmm. Used on the internet, a hashtag can even function like a link. If I put up a photo with hashtag blessed, my photo will also show up when other people search for hashtag blessed. And people use hashtag blessed to celebrate things like weddings and new babies, new jobs or promotions. It has sort of become synonymous with happy or even fortunate. I'm not convinced that is precisely what Jesus meant. Jesus didn't say you're blessed when you're happy, blessed when good things happen to you. In fact, he sort of said the opposite. Even when you are weak, even when you are sorrow-filled, even when you feel alone, you are blessed. Theologian Marcia Riggs puts it this way: those who receive God's favor are not the privileged class of the Roman Empire or the Jewish establishment. The Beatitudes are spoken to those groups whom God deems worthy not by virtue of their own achievements or status in society, but because God chooses to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, and those persecuted because of their beliefs. God blesses the regulars, the ordinaries, the everyday folks, the ones gathered around Jesus on the hillside in ancient Galilee. Ignatian associate Lisa Kelly, in her reflection entitled "Blessed Are Those in the Crowd," writes of her own experience with the Beatitudes. She says, "For all my life, I have heard the Beatitudes read, and my first reaction has always been, well, which one am I? Which one am I in there?" She goes on to share a realization she came to after spending some time reflecting on who she is in this story. She writes, "If I put myself in the scene as St. Ignatius instructs, I'm the one with the Hermione Granger hand shooting up in a panic to be called on, oh, pick me, even though I have no idea exactly what Jesus was seeking in the call of his disciples. Instead, he walks up the mountainside and I'm left feeling a little bit dismissed. I wonder if he sees me as just one of the crowd. Then suddenly I find myself no longer one of the crowd, but rather staring at the crowd through Jesus' eyes. He begins to preach the Beatitudes, but I am now seeing the people differently. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and I notice the woman who doesn't dare look up, but I now know her story of being ridiculed relentlessly from a young age. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, and there's a man standing against a tree with distraught eyes, red and glassy, and tears streaming down his face. Now when I hear the Beatitudes, I don't worry if I fit into the list of Jesus blessed. Instead, I hear how I am called to see others. When I walk down the street, I hear that same voice in my head. Blessed is this one. Blessed is that one. Blessed is he. Blessed is she." What if we hear in the Beatitudes the calling and the blessing that is ours when we build community? What if the Beatitudes are not about you or me, but about us, about who and how we are to one another? Look around, friends. Go ahead, look around the room. Look with God's eyes. Everyone here is blessed by God in some way. Everyone here is blessed by God through being in community with each other, because in community is where we practice sharing love and forgiveness and showing mercy. It's where we learn to set aside our pride in order to serve others. It's where we can own our mistakes and experience forgiveness. It's where we can stand together and take up the cause of others who are marginalized. It is where we find strength and courage and hope. I've asked Sarah Gibbons to come forward and share a few words this morning about what it has meant for her to find the kind of faith community I'm describing here. Sarah?
Good morning. So some people here know some of my story, or most of my story, and some people don't know any of it. I've been coming to this church for almost 4 years. In May, we'll hit that anniversary. It actually took a lot of encouragement from a couple of my coworkers to get me to even step foot in the door the first time. As I'm sure some of you know or have experienced yourself, religion and churches can be damaging to some people. Sometimes that damage is irreparable. Sometimes there is hope for change. I was deeply injured by a church when I was still a very young woman. And before I came to Fly Creek, I hadn't been to church in 18 years. Kim and Carrie Stockwell were the co-workers that first attempted to motivate me into coming to their church when they discovered that I was struggling. I was fearful, but they promised that their church was open and welcoming. I found that hard to believe. So it only took 6 to 8 months of their encouragement for me to finally step foot through those doors. That very first day, I sat there in the pews, right where you guys are sitting, and listened to the passionate testimonies from members of the congregation about an annual conference that they had just attended. It confirmed for me that I was in the right place. I believe it was God's timing for me to be here that day to witness what I did. But it was God's people, this community of people, who demonstrated exactly what Jesus meant when he commanded us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. From the very first day here, I felt welcome and cared for. I have also felt supported here. It was very hard for me to trust people, and sometimes it still is. But I have grown so much because of the love that I have come to know from this community, this church community. It is freely given here. I didn't have to do anything to win it. And it grows for me all the time. I learn about more people and spend time as much as possible with different groups in activities that just don't include what happens within these walls. I find myself depending on friends I've made here, the family that I have never known. For the first time in my life, I have come to know what the true meaning of the word home is. It's not this place that is home. It's this people that is home. The way that this community lives out the command of Jesus to love your neighbor is to practice sharing love and forgiveness and showing mercy, just as Pastor has stated. Seeing these things and experiencing them firsthand has allowed me to grow in my spiritual life and have a much richer relationship with God and with God's people that I have never experienced before. It has helped me to strive to do what I've been called to do. I became a part of this community because of what you became to mean to me. I am blessed because of you. I'm a different person than that Sarah that walked through those doors almost 4 years ago. I have grown. I am stronger. I have found the real me, the Sarah that God intended me to be. Thank you for being my blessing.
Thank you, Sarah. By the way, y'all know that Sarah is now the lay leader of this church? Following in the footsteps of Tom Huntsman, who held that place for many years. Sarah is our lay leader, and she will also be attending annual conference. She has for the last couple of years, but it's been online. This will be the first year that she actually gets to go to an in-person annual conference, which was the report she received that first day that she was in this church 4 years ago. So kind of neat how things come full circle, too. So thanks, Sarah, for sharing that. We are the community we are because you, each of you, is who you are in Christ, blessed and blessing others. Together we are a community that comforts and loves and forgives. We are a community that stands with and for those who dwell on the margins of life. And we dare to hope and dream and believe that together we can bring the kingdom of heaven near. This is the foolish wisdom of God, which Paul writes about to the Corinthians, this building of community. This is the walk the prophet Micah calls us to, this walking humbly with God in order to seek justice and show mercy. This is the righteous work the psalmist exalts, this work of building community. Blessed be, church, and amen.